anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. So we're approaching the midway mark of the NHL season. We're also approaching midway marks of different seasons around North America. World Juniors are now in the books. What a perfect time to catch up with Ray Edwards and look at some of the Flames prospects and more. It's time to check in with Ray Edwards, the Director of Player Development for the Calgary Flames. Text line always loves it when Ray's on with us, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Happy New Year, Mr. Edwards. How we doing?
How we doing, fellas? Happy New Year to you.
Doing well. Doing really well. Always always great to have you on. What's the new year look like for Ray Edwards and his development team?
Lots of travel, I think.
Okay.
I just got back home. Actually, I was in Toronto for a couple games and out to Calgary to watch the Wranglers all last week, and then back to Toronto on the weekend, and then home here for a couple days, and I'm going to get out and see Gridden and Suniev over the next couple weeks a couple times. So, and then I'm then back out west again. So, and obviously with Marty going behind the bench again, back to the dark side, we're going to be scrambling a little bit. The rest of us are going to have to pick up for Marty's absence. So we'll be busy, but that's good. We love it. We love getting out to see the kids, and it's a lot of fun.
One of the interesting things I've always liked about talking with you or talking to some of the guys on the folks on your development team is just, you know, how each person takes on a certain number of players, so on and so forth. So as you mentioned, Marty Zielina for the time being on the Calgary Wranglers bench. So you just kind of spread out his players amongst the rest of you. Is that kind of the idea?
Exactly. And, you know, and Rebecca is expecting, so she's a little bit on the shelf, so we can't have her doing as much as we'd like, but we're so happy for her and her family and stuff.
Yeah.
But she'll pick up some of the, you know, the extra work. Darren Romerdahl, Mike Stone, and myself will pick up some of that. And, you know, whether it's traveling or just doing the video work and the check-ins with coaches and players and agents and everything else, we'll find a way between, you know, the rest of the crew to make sure these players are looked after.
And you know, you've also added, what, 10 new players to the organization since the draft? So
yeah.
It's a year where you've added a good volume of new bodies as well, hey?
Yeah, it sure is. But it's exciting. I was just sitting here. I'm in my office at home looking at my board and just kind of going through in my head before I get on the call just to get prepared a little bit. And, you know, we couldn't be happier right now with the way things are going. All of our players are having good years. They're, you know, there's always ups and downs and ebbs and flows, but most of these guys right now are in a good place and playing some really good hockey. So a good time for us to chat.
Well, absolutely, and looking forward to diving in on some of these names with you, Ray. And maybe as we get into some of the individuals, the one player you had at the World Juniors in Ontario was Axel Hertig. He goes and plays with Sweden, who go to the bronze medal game, so they go as deep as you can in the tournament in terms of games played. What jumped out of you in terms of Axel representing his country at the World Juniors, and how big of a development piece was that for him?
Well, I think, first of all, we're really proud of Axel to be able to be part of that team. That's a deep team. It's a really good team. I know he texted me after the game the other night, and they were pretty disappointed they weren't able to medal. But Axel, you know, he's a real intelligent. He understands his game. He knows who he is as a player, and you know the role that he played there. He understood and he got it. He knows what his identity is. He knows who he is, and you know, he fit right into that identity, which is, you know, a big, long DD that defends really well, checks really well, uses his stick really efficiently, makes a real simple first pass, is hard to play against, and doesn't give up a lot. He loves to block shots. He loves that sort of, you know, that identity of being hard to play against, and that's what he was asked to do there, and I thought he did it really well.
And I guess staying at the same position, and I know that I know the group was really hoping that Zane Parekh would go and represent Team Canada at the World Juniors. Doesn't end up making that squad, but boy, I know that for him, he was like, hey, I'm going to use this as motivation, and really feels like his season in Saginaw has started to take off. Ray, where are we on Zane Parekh's first year with the organization? Where are we as his kind of draft plus 1 year continues?
Well, again, similar to Axel, that was a tough, week, and then, you got a little bit of hope again when they invited him back, and then, obviously they didn't keep him in the long run, but I had many conversations with Zane during it, and he understands why, and he understands the areas of his game that he wants to get better at. And I was, we were real frank with him in terms of why it was. And he understands that. So it's an area that we're focusing on. And really what it is, guys, it's just being a little bit better without the puck. And then with the puck, making really good, solid decisions. Zane has skill like no other. And Zane, if he wanted to, could probably beat people one-on-one almost every play. What we've got to get him to do is at times just make that simple play. And it's a fine line when you're talking about a guy as skilled as Zane, but there are times when he has to live to fight another day and just make that simple play, move it north and live to fight another day. But the one thing about Zane's game here recently, and whether it's because of not being able to go with Team Canada or whatever it might be, he is playing a real solid, hard-nosed brand of hockey right now. He is ultra competitive right now. He's, I think in the last 20 games, he's 35 points, something like that. Like he had a little bit of a slow start offensively, but that's changed. He's putting the puck in. He scored a heck of a goal the other night. I don't know if you saw the highlights against Ottawa, but he's playing really good hockey. He's playing hard. He's, he's buying into what we're trying to do with him. He understands where his game has to go to play in the NHL, and he's working hard to do it.
I spoke with you as training camp was getting underway after everybody had gotten back from Penticton, and ran into you at Winsport and was talking about Zane, and we were talking about how, even in those three games at the Young Stars, how quick a study he was and how much different he was in game three of that event compared to game one. How impressed are you in terms of how quickly some of these things you're asking him to work on have come to his game?
Well, the best part of it is, players that are that skilled and have that much ability, and, he's won a Memorial Cup, he's won CHL Defenseman of the Year, so you never know how you're going to go into a year where you do have to make changes. And I give Zane a ton of credit, guys, because he's totally open-minded, understands, just going through that whole experience in training camp and Penticton and main camp, that, hey, there's areas that he has to get better at. And even though he's reached a couple of major goals in his career, the biggest goal is playing in the National Hockey League, and he wants to do that sooner rather than later. So he's all in terms of how he has to change. And again, it is a fine line, fellas, because you don't want to take away that natural ability and natural talent and that skill set, but you have to make sure that there's certain areas of his game that are non-negotiable in terms of checking and defending.
We're chatting with Ray Edwards. He is the Director of Player Development for the Calgary Flames. Always good to check in with Ray a few times a year here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on this Tuesday. Wes?
Ray, I know there's a lot of excitement in this city and in this fan base about another young defenseman in the Ontario Hockey League, and that would be Henry Muse, your third-round pick, or one of your third-round picks, if I'm remembering correctly, this past summer.
Everything kind of blended
them,
together.
So they get mixed up once in a while.
The tied for the leading scorer among defensemen in the OHL right now with 49 points. He briefly was leading the entire league, regardless of position, in assists. I can read what I see on the box score, but when you guys watch him as a development team, what jumps out about Henry and the season he's having there for the Ottawa 67s?
Well, there is some similarities between him and Zane in terms of the areas of focus. And really, every player, every defenseman that plays junior hockey or college hockey for that matter, they all have areas to get better at in terms of checking, defending, you know, being able to play the position at a high level. As you guys know, it's a tough position to play, and very rarely do you see guys come right from major junior, right from college, and be, you know, stalwarts in the National Hockey League as a defenseman. So, you know, these guys aren't any different. There's some development here that has to happen. And Henry's similar to Zane in that it's really tough without the puck. It's, in Henry's case, there is some major work to do off the ice in terms of strength and power and adding weight and those types of things. But similar to Zane, it's just being able to check and defend it at a high level, understanding, you know, how to play the game without the puck. And then with the puck, obviously he's dynamic. He sees the next play at an elite level. He's got an excellent one-timer and can score from just about anywhere on the ice. He reads the play very well in terms of jumping in and having those really good offensive instincts. So, again, guys, lots to be excited about. We're as I said earlier, we're really happy right now because most of our kids are playing at a really high level right now, and Henry's no different.
One of the really unique and interesting things I think about Henry is we're talking about a kid who played forward for a decent chunk of his minor hockey career. I'm curious now, as you know, he puts up the numbers he is on the blue line in Ottawa, as he works on the other side of his game that you talked about. What are sort of the maybe perks and what are the challenges of a guy who's sort of so green at that defense position playing at such a high level?
Well, the perks are certainly the offensive part. Like he is, you know, there's times when he's leading the rush, right? Or he's the middle driver on the rush, or he's hanging around the net at net front because those instincts are still there. And I would say the other side of that is that's where we're trying to work with him and get him to understand that playing the position of defense is a little bit different. It's sort of a work in progress in terms of, hey, there's sometimes you just got to play defense. And, you know, we're trying to help him learn that position at a high level. So, but again, it's a fine line. You really got to be careful. You don't take away his natural ability, his natural instincts. You definitely don't want him just sitting at home and not taking some chances. But I think that's the benefit of playing a bunch of games in the Ontario Hockey League and having good coaching and development people around is that, yeah, there's some nights where you're like, okay, we've got to make some adjustments here. Then there's some nights you're just like, let him go, let him do what he does, and he's successful at it. So, but again, there's a development plan, development curve to this, and we'll just keep pounding away. And Mike really enjoys it. He's actually heading there, I think, tomorrow to catch him. So he'll get out there and see some games as well. But we really enjoy watching him play. He's an exciting player to watch. And you know, as much as we got to dig in and keep you know, pounding away with him in terms of playing without the puck, we love what he does with the puck.
Ray, I'm sure you and Pat would both agree that I'm really good at predictions, and so I'm gonna throw one out here.
Absolutely,
I'm gonna throw one out here. So it might be tomorrow, if not later in the week, the American Hockey League is gonna announce the All-Star selections, and I have a sneaking suspicion that Rory Karens might be a guy.
Hot take alert.
Yeah. Hey, wait, bear with me here. I am predicting with the league leading 21 goals, he might be named the All-Star team. What's put Rory in a position to not only make me look so smart later this week when my prediction likely comes true, but what's made him such a great story for the Flames from a development standpoint this season?
Well, I think there's a number of things. I think the first thing is that Rory's got himself in a really good position physically. He had a really good summer this year. He came in really good shape. I think having a couple years of experience now and having to go up and down, and, you know, he spent pretty much his first year in the East Coast League. Last year was up and down. And then when he came back there the second half, he found a home and was able to put up some numbers. So I think coming into this year, he is way more confident in his abilities. And then his body allowed him to do more things. And what his body has allowed him to do, guys, is win more races, win more puck battles, get to open ice quicker. Rory has a really good sense of the game, and he has a really good ability to get open. And I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the goal amounts that he has. He finds open ice, and now he can separate to get there. So he's put himself in a really good position physically. He's gone through a couple years where he's had to learn and grind. He understands what it takes to be successful at that level. And then the second part of that is when you get off to a good start and you start to get confidence, you know, you start to roll. And, you know, I think our group there, whether it was Trent before, now Joe and his staff, you know, they have a ton of confidence that Rory can produce offense for us. So I think it's threefold. And I think all the credit goes to him because he's had to grind. This has not been easy for him. And, you know, everyone, I know it's, you know, we all want everyone to play in the NHL right away, but this is the reality of development, is sometimes certain players take a little bit longer.
We're chatting with Ray Edwards, Flames Director of Player Development. Boy, I you know, somebody brought this up a little while ago. I think it might have actually been somebody in the organization I was talking to. I don't remember exactly, but, you know, since drafting Matvei Gridin in the first round in Vegas, at first we thought he was going to college. Then the decision was made he's going to go the major junior route. And then he gets drafted by one team in the import draft. It doesn't work. And eventually he ends up where he is in Shawinigan, and he's putting up some good numbers, 45 points now in 35 games. But one thing that I didn't take into account until somebody brought this up is, okay, we've got a guy who his native language is Russian. So culture shock coming over to play in the USHL. Now he's learning a new language in English. And now you're into Quebec, where you're also now everything is predominantly French as well. So you're trying to acclimate to a third language and a new league and a new setting, and yet here he is with 45 points in 35 games in his first year playing Canadian Major Junior. Just how impressed have you been with Matvei Gridin, how he's been able to handle some difficult circumstances and how this season has gone for him?
Well, you used the word impressed, and I couldn't be more impressed with Matvei. And actually, we had a great Zoom call today where we were just reviewing some game film and some areas of focus for him. I mean, a little bit of a slow start, but just going through everything you just said is, you know, you could not expect anything else. He's going to a brand new team, brand new coaches, a brand new city, you know, new language to deal with. Now, the one thing that's interesting about Shawinigan, and we talked to the guys there before he ended up going there, was at the locker room and in the rink, everything is done in English, so which is really helpful. But Shawinigan, as Marty Gelman will tell you, that's where his mom and dad are. Is a predominantly French-speaking city. So if you're out getting groceries or you're at a restaurant, it's all French. So, you know, he's sort of got to learn that as he goes. But the nice thing for him on a day-to-day basis is, at least at the rink, they do everything in English, which is real helpful to guys overseas that are coming over for the first time. So the good thing for Matvei is that, you know, he's been over here. He played in the USHL last year, and you know, I would say with Matvei, guys, the last month, he has taken a whole nother level to his game. He is competing. He's winning races. He's on the puck. He's driving the net. He's playing. He's playing like a guy that wants to do something here in terms of making the playoffs and having a little bit of run in the playoffs. He, you know, that team itself, and again, the coach has done a good job there, but there's no real superstars there. Like, Matvei is the guy. So he's leaned on heavily to produce. And the last month, he's really done a nice job. I think he's gone 20 of 22 games with a point. He had a four-pointer the other night. They won 4-2 or 4-3. He had two goals and two assists and was all around it. But what's impressing me about Matvei is his, you know, he's learning to compete at the level that he needs to compete to play in the National Hockey League. And as you guys know, that's one of the big hurdles for these guys. It's the thing that Mangiapane had to learn. It's the thing that Coronado's had to learn. And I know Husk's talked about, you know, the big differences in his game. And so we're trying to get them to do this stuff now so that jump isn't quite as hard. And Matvei's done a really nice job of buying into, you know, understanding how competitive you have to be.
It's It's funny you bring up the name Mangiapane, because Wes just, because we were going to pivot to Luke Misa, and Wes goes, that's an interesting comparison. You bring up Andrew Mangiapane and you know, a high-scoring Ontario Hockey League guy, you know, undersized by most metrics, and turns into a full-time NHLer. Well, here's Luke Misa in his first year with the organization in Brampton, on pace for closing in on 100 points if he plays all 68 games this year. 52-36. He was a very prolific player last year as well, but to go from 81 in your draft year and to bump it maybe to triple digits in your draft plus 1 year, so I would imagine you'd chalk that up as some significant steps for him as well.
Well, and the interesting thing about Luke too is the first 10 games, I think he had 2 points in his first 10 games, and so he got off to a little bit of a slow start. And it was funny at the time, because I actually went in there about game 8 when he was sort of struggling to produce. And, you know, we just sat down and said, Luke, like, you, if you do X, Y, and Z, that the points are going to start coming. So just be patient, hang in there, you know, don't get too rattled here, and it'll come. And sure enough, you just got to stay with it. And you guys mentioned Mange. Well, we've got 3 or 4 really good sort of examples for Luke, whether it be Jacob or Matthew Coronato or Mangiapane. Like, I've used those guys as examples for Luke different times. And actually the other day when we did our Zoom, you know, we brought up Mange and just some of the hurdles that he had to face, and, you know, some of the things that we talked about when he was becoming a pro. And so it's great to use those guys as comparisons, because they're in the NHL and having success, and they can see themselves sort of in that light. So, and Luke's no different. Luke's got a ton of skill. He's really good sense and skill. We just, again, everything we work with Luke is figuring out as a smaller player how to have the puck more, how to get the puck back, how to hang on to the puck, how to possess it a little bit more and just have it more. And when he has the puck, he's dangerous. So we're working hard to try to get him to understand all the little details about how to get it back.
Ray, we're going to have to do this again soon, because we're probably like 10 more guys we could ask you about, but
scratching the surface.
We didn't even get to the goalie who stood on his head at Wrigley Field the other night, but I digress.
Well, I just texted him because he won player of the week there, or one of the players of the week in the conference or something, so good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I want to ask you one more to wrap it up, and this one's not development related. You've spent a lot of time around the Saddle Dome. Pat and I have been sharing some memories about Al Chopper McNeil, who passed away Sunday. Can you give us a thought on what made Chopper such a special man and such a special guy to have around the Dome?
Oh man, it's choking me up, because I love this gentleman. He from the first day I got there was nothing but an asset, a mentor, a storyteller, just an unbelievable, amazing human being. And I enjoyed, you know, training camp was so much fun, because you'd go and you'd watch practice, but Chopper would be there every day. And you would just, the first thing you'd do is snuggle up beside and listen to Chopper talk about, you know, whether it was what was going on there that day or what was going on earlier that week, or maybe he'd get into some of his stories, which you just, you know, all of a sudden he's holding court. I just so saddened to hear the news the other day, and so saddened for his family, and just wish nothing but the best for them. That's got to be a tough time. But as you guys know, Chopper was an amazing person, amazing man, amazing father, amazing hockey person, and will be so sorely missed. And it'll be hard going to training camp next year without Chopper being around, for sure.
Well said, Ray. Appreciate that. To wrap it up, Wes is right. We should do this again real soon. Always appreciate the chats. Always appreciate the time. We'll see you when you're back out here again in Calgary. But Ray, appreciate it as always. Thanks so much for doing this, hey?
No, I love coming on anytime, guys.
Yeah, come back soon. I'll work on another prediction for us.
Yeah, please do. I love it.
Thanks, Ray.
See you, fellas.
Ray Edwards is the Director of Player Development for the Calgary Flames on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson, Cam Hughes, Shan Vergy, our outstanding producers. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.